Good morning, everyone. Some of you may remember a visit we made as a church family to the Transatlantic Slavery Museum in Liverpool a number of years ago. I vividly remember standing alongside a black sister, looking at a glass case of lifestyle models, a scene of men in a line bound and tethered to each other, being marched through a forest. We stood unable to move, stunned into complete silence. We were looking at the scene through very different eyes, with very different backgrounds and heritage, very different life experiences. But we were both acknowledging in our silence that this was a scene of profound evil. We were both lamenting, I imagine, for very different reasons. I don't know exactly what my sister was feeling, but I was feeling deep remorse and deep shame that I was part of a society that had not only perpetrated this evil, but prospered as a result of it. Whatever our feelings, we were able in that moment to share something of the pain. Those who were there may also remember that visit was part of a process that enabled us as a church to share our stories, our own experiences of both perpetrating, however inadvertently, and bearing the brunt of racism. It was a painful time, but looking back, I believe God was right at the heart of it. He drew us together through it and has kept us together. We are now an even more diverse church, a church that has welcomed many people from all over the world. Maybe the pain was God's preparation for what we enjoy now. This weekend, as people have been meeting in their thousands to remember George Floyd, we've been reminded yet again that the evil that resulted in the enslavement of so many is still causing the same death and suffering. As people of God, we have an opportunity to speak out against this evil. Not just an opportunity, but a responsibility. We're aware that the Bible has been used so wrongly to perpetrate racism. But what we know is that the God we see in Jesus embraces all people from every nation. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, says that in Christ there can be no division into Jew and Gentile, slave and free, male and female, and we can add black and white. We're all in a common relationship with Jesus Christ. That means he holds us all in one family. It doesn't mean that we're all the same. Our differences enrich each other's lives. What it does mean is that we are all equally precious, equally blessed. Paul wrote these words as a clear statement to refute what those reading them believed. In those days, every Jewish man was encouraged to pray each morning a prayer of thanks. He would thank God that he was not a Gentile or a slave or a woman, because they were clearly second-class citizens in God's kingdom. Paul was saying, in effect, that prayer has nothing to do with God's kingdom. There are no second-class citizens in God's kingdom. All who are in Christ are God's precious children, and all not yet in Christ have the same potential status. As God's children, in this multicultural church that we have the privilege of being part of, we can be a beacon of light and hope, a rainbow-coloured beacon of light and hope for all who are desperately seeking justice for people of all colours. As we learn to celebrate in our church the rich diversity of people with different cultures, different ways of worshipping, different ways of caring, we will offer to the world a kingdom model of being community. And as we remain vigilant to dealing with anything that may cause harm to our unity in Christ, we will offer the world the good news that Jesus came to bring, that he has come to proclaim liberty, to set free the oppressed, and as the message puts it, to announce this is God's year to act. When we decided to follow Jesus, that's what we signed up for, to act with our God, to bring that freedom, to bring in his kingdom. This, I believe, is one of God's action moments, and therefore, it's one of ours. God bless you.